Welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
What's wrong with me? Hey, how are you doing? Today is Wednesday, the 20th of March, 2024. And I'm Mo. Mo Abdelbaki, to be precise. And, this is the Paisley Penny Arcade. Come on in. Grab yourself a beanbag chair. Although they're not filled with beans, because that would be wasteful. Beans are edible, and trust me, there are enough people in the world who need something to eat that I wouldn't be filling them with beans, you know? I mean, you could put beans in them. It would be, be better to eat those beans. And even if we do get a little gassy, what's wrong with that? Well, there's a lot wrong with that, I suppose, if you have enough people who have done it. But, eventually you get used to that, and you don't react the same way. Balderdash. I know. Some people say, you're not very evolved. Well, yeah, that's true. All right. You want to see my tail? I use it to open doors sometimes, and, sometimes I stir food with it. It's pretty immune to heat. But, stop it, Mo. Don't ad lib. Don't ad lib. This entire show is one big ad lib. From beginning to end, all I do is hit send in my brain, and it will wind and wend its way around the bend. And stop it. Just stop it. Relax. So how are you? I hope you're doing well. I hope you had a nice vernal equinox. That was yesterday. At my time. I'm in the mountain zone at 9:06 p.m. 2106, as it were. And so you can adjust for wherever you live. And it was nice, which was very nice. I took just a little bit of there it is. And, of course, equinox means equal night. And, of course, it is not equal night. That's something called equilux. And that's a different story, and I'm not going to get into it now. But, the equilux, it depends on where thouest lives. On the equator, it is the equinox. Equal day and equal light. And isn't that just a delight? I happen to think so. But, I think if I've been to the equator, I've passed over it. Certainly I have. When I went to Louisiana, I didn't get that far. Did I? Well, I don't know. I'm not going to think about it. How are you? How's the world where you live? How are things going? Are you uptight? Are you okay? I hope you're okay. Do you meditate? I meditate. I need to do more of it. I used to have quite a practice, twice a day, rain or shine, no matter what. And just along the way, I lost over 100 pounds and lost my sense of humor. That's why I kind of quit doing it, because I thought I'd like to have a sense of humor. Gained some of that weight back, which was, my meditation teacher, he said, I can't believe you stopped meditating. I said, And he didn't have much of a sense of humor, to be honest, but I liked him very, very much. Nice guy. But, And I don't think that has to happen to everybody. It just did to me. I took everything so literally. I'll never forget a guy that I knew very well and liked very well. And he was a student and a client of mine. And once we became friends, he kind of stopped being a client of mine. Because that's a very difficult thing, to be a friend and a client at the same time. As a matter of fact, it doesn't work out very well. Now, some of you may be readers or who have friends who are readers or whatever, but I think you'll know what I'm talking about. It's almost, maybe not completely, but it's almost impossible to do both at the same time. Because it just kind of, there is a line that is very nearly impossible, because you just find that there are things that you can't quite say. So it's. And when you've got someone who is a purely a client, you can say darn near anything. Like, this is not a good thing you're doing. Stop it right away. Or, you're a bit of a schlemiel or a schamuck or whatever it may be. So it's one of those things, that thing. Reading. Do you read? Read for others, read for yourself. I'm going to talk about divination today. I thought it was about time because I'm fascinated by divination. It is an astounding thing to do. I happen to like it very, very much. And I've been obsessed with the I Ching over the past few weeks. Again, I do this in spirals, not in circles, but in spirals, and have done so for decades. I have interests that absolutely grab me. And with grappling hooks, it's a bit of an unpleasant thought. I think I'll choose something else. With Nerf darts, and drag me into their realm of interest. And it was the I Ching always interests me because I use it quite often. And this time it has grabbed me quite a bit, and I've been studying in depth again. And this time it has really sucker-punched me, so to speak. And it got into my head that there must be a way to use a pair of regular dice, just six-sided dice, to simulate the Yarrowstock odds. Now, this is, I don't want to get into the mathematics of things. Number one, I am not a mathematician. So things like the odds of things aren't always easy for me. I can do it if I, sit down and go. And they have these calculators online that are sometimes harder to do than sitting down with pencil and paper. But I thought, if you used one die and you threw it twice, you could have 36 different possible rolls. And 36 divided by 2 is 18. And the odds on the Yarrowstock are 1 out of 16, 1 out of, something like that. And I'm going through all this stuff, and my head is breaking, and I'm getting, like a headache. And I thought, wait a minute, that's pretty close. What if I knocked off a number here and a number there? And how could I do that? And it came to me that you could use dice. And after really busting my brain, and my brain is no longer, it doesn't come back so easy. I leave shards of brain everywhere, get stuck in the wall. And sometimes I find little drops of brain matter here and there. And after having really, I thought, well, let me look and see if anyone else has done. Sure enough, someone had, and they'd done it much more elegantly than I had, and easier, I think. And so you can use a pair of dice to replicate the I Ching, or the Yarrowstock odds. Now, wait a minute, what is this guy talking about, Yarrowstock? Well, yarrow is a type of plant. It happens to be pretty ubiquitous out here in the great Rocky Mountain West, where I happen to live. I happen to have yarrow stalks right next to me here, yarrow stalks that I actually grew. I keep them in a Chinese jar. It's not exactly a ginger jar, but it's a nice jar. It's blue and it has writing on it. I understand it's rather, it has a little lid that's supposed to go on it, but with the yarrow stalks in it, it won't go. And it has a mala around it that I made many, many, many years ago. That is knotted. It's a knotted mala that I made. It uses what's known as a Chinese button knot, but it's 808 of them, and then a big guru version of that knot, but it's several layers of that, and then a star knot at the top. It's nice. I like it. It works. And I made that a long time ago. It's also blue. Kind of matches the... It's made out of... I made it out of very thin curtain rod transom cord, which means, boy, you're in trouble if you need to break that, because you can't. So it would not a good idea, I suppose. You wouldn't want to put that around your neck or something like that. But I like that. And I used to use the yarrow stock, and I used to use the coins. And I was introduced to the I Ching. I've told that story, I think, a few times, so I won't bother. But 56 years ago, that's a long time ago, 56 years ago. It'll be 56 years ago this fall, I think. And so I got to thinking, now I've got this YouTube thing that I did, and it's on a YouTube channel, I think, that is my YouTube channel. I know nothing about it other than they have like aspirin commercials or something before I come on, which is probably quite fitting. Hemorrhoid commercials would probably be good, too, because I've been told many times that I give people hemorrhoids. They say, Mo, you're a pain in the wazoo. And so, but anyway, so I've had some people kind of give me the business over the fact that I say that the side of the Chinese coins with two characters are the yang side, and the Chinese coin with the four characters are the inside. And people, boy, they gave me the business about that. You moron. I don't think they said quite that, but they're angry. Oh my God, they're angry. They're like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just, you know, and I said, probably I don't. I don't even remember where I got that idea. And just yesterday, I said to myself, Samo, where did you get this idea? And I thought, well, I've had that idea the whole time I've been dealing with the I Ching. I know I have. Now, when I first started dealing with this stuff 56 years ago, I used pennies. Because, first of all, I was a kid. I was about 13, 14 years old. And I didn't have money. You know, money was something that first of all, it was a different world back then. Kids just didn't have money. Money was so hard to come by, you wouldn't believe it, you know. I won't tell you all the things that, you know, you could buy a brand new Chrysler for like 32 cents. No, that's not true. You know that. I know that. But it was a different world. It really was a different world. And so you would scrounge up, you know, pennies. I remember when I finally did it with quarters, it was like, whoa, this is insane, you know. But pennies were good enough, and I shined them up real nice and did it with that. But then when I first got my first Chinese coins, I had no idea which side to use. Because there was a side that seemed absolutely more important than the other. And that was the side, and if you know Chinese coins, and you can get on the internet now and just, you know, type in Chinese coins, and you'll see that there is a side that is very heavily inscribed. And that side usually has four sets of characters on it. And that is the heavily inscribed side. And that is the more important side, right? That's the one. That's the heavily inscribed. And that is very important side. And generally speaking, That is the one that most people today consider to be the yang side, the action side. And that's the one that I consider to be yin. All right? And people holler at me about that and, you know, call me donkey ears and things like that. Now, the other side has just two symbols on it. And sometimes there are some coins that have nothing on that other side. And so that's the side that I call yang, the male side, the active side. And they say, oh, he's such a bozo. And, oh, boy, you know, I won't get into the history of Bozo the Clown today, you know, but the guy who started, his name was Pinto. Just so you know, that's a different story. That's a different tale. RCA started Bozo the Clown. That's a different story. Won't get into that. He was also the original voice of Goofy for Walt Disney. That's a different story. I'm not going to get into that. Fascinating tale. He was a very talented guy. So, Kolvig, Pinto Kolvig, I think was his name. So that's what you've got. You've got two on one side. And I thought that yesterday, where did I get that idea? I mean, because I had it forever. So I picked up the book, the only book that I really had for years and years and years and years on the I Ching. And that is the Wilhelm Baines book. The I Ching, or Book of Changes, written by Richard Wilhelm and translated by Carrie F. Baines. And I thought, well, wait a minute, there's that thing in the back of the book. I wonder if that's where I got it. So here is my copy of it. I wish you could see it. It looks, and I've only had this since, I think, 1987. I bought this when I turned, I think, 33 years old for myself. Before that, I was borrowing it from friends and, you know, getting it out of the library and stuff like that. And because, frankly, I didn't have a lot of money. And the book was, well, it wasn't that, you know, expensive, but, you know, I'm a Taurus. Tauruses are known to be a little cheap. So in the very back of the book, in my copy of this on page 724. It's in an appendix. It's in the appendix at the very back, right before the hexagrams arranged by houses. There is this thing. It's talking about using the coins. And it says right here, the inscribed sign counts as yin, and with the value 2. And the reverse side counts as yang, with the value 3. So, there it is. That's why I got it. So, the inscribed sign is yin, according to Wilhelm, who got it from a Taoist monk. And the other side, the reverse side, is yang. So, I got this 56 years ago from Richard Wilhelm, and had quite forgotten it. And people have been hollering at me for years because, no, Mo, you've got it wrong. Now, I'm going to put this on, write this up and put it on my YouTube thing, just to kind of say, man, it may be wrong, but I got it from someone who has very, very well learned and got it from directly from a Taoist monk. And there's probably a reason for that. It's probably a reason why Wilhelm put it in there, you see. And so I just want to make that point, you know, that I may be crazy, but I'm not all that weird. You know, I may be weird, but I'm not all that stupid, I should say. Because I knew there was a reason why I did it. I just couldn't remember why and where I got it from. So yesterday, I was really kind of happy that I looked in the book and found it. So, if someone gives you trouble because of something you find or something you've done for a long time, and I just kind of said to the people, someone really raked me over the coals for it, which is their prerogative. Let them do it. I mean, I could turn off comments, but for every negative comment I get about 200 or 300 positive ones. I've had over 11,000 comments on that, or 11,000, not comments, 11,000 people read this thing, watch this thing, and a lot of comments, hundreds of comments, and 99.9% of them are very complimentary, because it will teach you how to cast the I Ching. Very simply, too, because the rules are remarkably simple. Any book will make it so difficult that it's hard to do, and it teaches the coin method. Now, I have used both methods, the Yarrow method and the coin method, and don't worry about the Yarrow stock method for now. I'll do one on the Yarrow stock method on the site one of these days. It's a nice meditative method. It takes about 20 minutes to do properly. I think. And it's really great because you get to kind of drift, man. I mean, you just start in and you just kind of drift to it. Pardon me, I'm taking a sip of my decaffeinated coffee here. It's not that I'm qualifying it. It's not that I'm embarrassed. I don't want you to think, oh, he's drinking caffeine. But I just said that because that's what it is. I like the honesty factor here. Oh, is that good? You know, it's just as good. Just as good. But I love the fact that I can use two dice. You see? One is red, one is black. The red one has black dots. Pips, as we call them.
I say. And the other one is black with red pips. Pip, pip.
And I like that because that's how it should be, in my opinion. I have made what are called Yao sticks, which some people call Dutch sticks or Dutch dice. And they're used for the I Ching as well. The I Ching is fascinating. We Westerners have turned it into, you know, just this multi-gazillion dollar business with books and gadgetry and... And I have on my wrist here my I Ching beads. I made a nice set here. I like this set. They're small. They're 6 millimeters. They're very small, but I accented it with... Didn't accent. I made a different set. I think I talked about it last week. Yes, I'm obsessed. But the point is, no matter how you come to any oracle at all, it'll give you an answer. And that's why it really doesn't matter how you do so. And I think that's the point, is that it doesn't really matter how you come to an oracle, as long as you come to it. Now, I asked a question about 5 days ago of the I Ching. It was the type of question you generally shouldn't ask. So let's talk about that for a second. Now, I'm not trying to browbeat you into using the I Ching. If you've used it, you know how incredible it can be. It's actually pronounced Yi Ching. And I get stuff over that, too. Some guy wrote, it's Yi Ching, Yi Ching, Yi Ching. Right? Because I say right all the time. And it's like, okay, far out, man. It's like, calm down, man. It's like people get so upset. It's like... Then do your own video. Do your own thing. And it's okay. I don't care. I mean, really don't. It's like, I understand. I mean, we're all humans. Just do it your way. Do it your way. And be happy. I mean, it's like, man, I see stuff every day that if I was back in the old mode, the old Mo mode... I might get upset and yell and, you know, snort. I might even snort. You know? Man, it's just not worth it. Why? Jeez, Louise, where are you going to get all huffy and puffy and blow down that house? It's just, it ain't worth it. So, the way to approach any oracle is with a sense of understanding that we in the West don't always... We're so self-centered, and I have to be honest about that. Man, I've been reading for a long time. wrong, long, long time. And we ask questions, and I'm no exception to that rule. I ask questions that are just this side of, really? Really? Do I really want to ask that question and look myself in the face, you know? Look myself in the face? What the heck? Anyway, you get it. So, yeah, I mean, we really are. So, but that's because we care about our lives and everything. But and I'm not trying to say that everyone else is more high-minded, because I've read for people all over the world. And guess what? They're exactly the same. They're no different than we are. And so we think about ourselves and our world, and that's kind of the basis of all of this, is that we are asking questions of an oracle. And when, you know, someone asked on Quora, I think I mentioned this last week, you know, how do the tarot cards tell the future? The answer, of course, is they don't. They don't tell the future. You know who tells the future? You do. I do. Anyone who picks up a deck of cards, I got mine right here, and this is the deck, I'm holding the deck that I invented here. And so you say, okay, here's this deck. And shuffle it up a little bit. Da-dee-da-dee-da. And we shuffle it up. And we say, okay. Now we ask a question. And we can ask yes or no questions. Although that's not the best use of it, right? Because it's much more in-depth than that. And I mix it up because I read reversals. I do. And I don't worry about how's it going to be to read that reversal. Is it going to be easy? Is it going to be hard? Because the meaning comes if you allow it, right? So you just take these cards and you shuffle them up. And you give them a good. I like cards. I've been working with cards pretty near all my life. I even invented my own, my psychedelic deck, which I'm quite fond of, by the way. It's pretty. It's very pretty. It's pretty wild, as a matter of fact. So you can ask a card, and you can even shuffle and then ask the question afterward, you know, and say, how crazy is this election you're going to be? Now, I've got a card on top here, and I'm just going to turn it over, and I get the debauch card, the Seven of Cups. Now, my card has, now it's Venus and Scorpio. So I drew my card with a scorpion, and the Venus from Venus, Botticelli's Venus, Birth of Venus, on top of that scorpion. And it's kind of a dark sky. And she's kind of misty, so to speak. But there are seven cups around her. Now, three of these cups that you touch are going to get you killed. See, four of them you can get near, but the other, and they're copper cups. And the key to copper is that copper is a metal that is corrupt in its natural state, because it corrupts from the inside out. Now, that's an old alchemical thing, and that's why the symbol for Venus is the way it is. It's a circle, which is the circle of gold, right? And beneath it is the cross of earth, and that's the cross of corruption. That's the secret to all alchemical symbolism for the planets. That's true. That's something we'll talk about sometime, maybe. So the idea here is that she's standing on this scorpion, and if you do it right, you can get away with it. So this is a card of danger. It's going to be kind of a slimy sort of Scorpio, Venus and Scorpio. So it's going to have good, it's going to have bad. But I think that's pretty appropriate. I think that's apt. Now, I didn't think of the question before, but, and of course, I could have, I could have interpreted it any old way I wanted to, right? But that makes sense to me. Now I'll just cut the deck and I'll say, you know, how does Donald Trump feel about the money situation he has where he has to hand over millions of dollars in bonds? And I get the Prince of Discs reversed. Now, the Prince of Discs is basically a Taurus card, basically, I say, because he's also got some Aries in him as well. So I'm saying, and it's reversed, which means that he's not altogether happy here, you see. He's not altogether happy. He's unhappy. And so, and that has to do, by the way, that little bit of Aries has to do with the way these cards are connected in the universe. It's a long story. Has to do with the Golden Dawn. It has to do with the trust structure of Tarot hermetically. So, and we see that it's reversed, meaning that he doesn't have the ability to come up with that money right away. And that's just the way it works. You see, if you know your tool pretty well, and I should know by this time, right? And will he be able to get the cash together? Here's another card. I cut the deck again, turn it over. And here we have the Four of Wands, which is completion. And mine is a pretty specific card, you know. It's a drummer from Led Zeppelin, and he's got four sticks. There's a song called Four Sticks, and it's a great song. It's a great song. It's on Led Zeppelin 4. You should listen to it sometime. And but he did the drumming with four drumsticks in his hand, and these sticks are kind of on fire. That's at my deck. And I think this card turned out splendidly. And he's pounding, pounding, pounding. It's a tribal song, you know. And it's well worth listening to. You can get on your streaming service and listen to the song called Four Sticks. And you tell me if he's going to get the money. You bet he will. He'll figure it out some way. So that's what this says. So that to me anyway. He'll figure it out. So, you know, that's just what Tarot is for me. It's a language, and it's one that tells the truth every single time. Okay, I'm going to stop talking about this subject because I just asked a question, and I'm not going to make predictions about the election or anything like that. That's not what this show's about, okay? Not gonna tip my hand, as they say. So, holy mackerel. Wow. So, I'm gonna ask, how about peace on Earth? I, you know, that's a silly question to ask, but is there a chance for it? And the cards are giving me the Five of Discs, which is the worry card, you know? Don't I wish there would be peace on Earth? Worry. Yeah, I know. This card is personal for me, you know. Very personal. It was a time when I was in San Francisco. I had 42 cents in my pocket, and that's what it is. It's my hand with a quarter, a nickel, a dime, and two pennies. And that's all I had in the world, five coins. And I was broke. And it was cold. It was like November, as I recall, and just freezing outside. And I had 42 cents. And I was hungry, and I didn't know what to do. And that was how I felt. And that is pretty much how I feel. I was feeling hopeless and helpless, but everything worked out. Now, I don't know if things are going to work out, but that was that same feeling. I feel the way about the world. But I also have hope. So maybe something will come through. You know, what I did was I went home. I went to a phone booth. I went into a convenience store where they looked at all long hairs as if we were scum of the earth. And I bought a bag of chips. They were supposed to be 50 cents, but I only had 42 cents. So I had to borrow 7 cents out of the take a penny, leave a penny. And I thought the lady was going to want to kill me. It was in Chinatown. And then I found a phone booth. I ate the chips because I was really hungry. And I called my parents' collect. They were in Palo Alto, and they came and got me. And I was freezing. It was so cold. The wind was whipping in off the bay. Oh my God, what a night that was. But I was so glad to see them, and they were glad to see me too. It's a long story. So that's, divination is wonderful stuff. I mean, it really is. I used to do once a month on my show, Out of Mo's Mind, I would do readings. And people would call and they'd ask a question and I would do the answer. And it used to blow my mind because you would just pick a couple of cards and boom, 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 there's the answer. And it would blow their minds. But it would blow my mind more because I would say, how does this work? And I've learned to say, don't ask how it works. Because it works. Because it's a wonderful thing. Because it is a joy unto us that we have this incredible tool that can reveal so much about what's going on in the world, in the universe. It's knowledge. All we have to do is ask, and blammo, there it is. So I asked a question about 5 days ago, and it was about something very personal to me. And I'm not going to tell you what it was because it's very personal to me. And I'm private. I mean, last week I was willing to, you know, tell you what a sucker I was and how I made a really stupid mistake on CA's show. And I'm always willing to own up to something like that, especially when I, you know, do the equivalent of dropping my trousers in public because I don't have a belt on. That's okay. But this is private. And I asked a question. And I asked the I Ching, and I got an answer that I couldn't quite make any sense out of. I mean, this happens with the I Ching. Why? Because we have a tendency to ask questions that are instant gratification questions, or that we really, really are not the questions we should be asking. So that's what I want to talk a little bit about here. Now, how do we phrase a question to the universe that will answer any question we want? But we have to know what it is we really want to know. Okay? So when something hurts us, when we have a pain, emotional, physical, mental, whatever it may be, spiritual, really it can be anything. If something is, we're curious about it, how do we know what's good for us? We don't always know what's good for us. If we always knew what was right, if we always did what was right, wouldn't we be in a great place all the time? And obviously, we aren't. Obviously, we don't always know what path to take. And that's where these tools become invaluable. You see? That's what I believe is the best use of tarot, astrology, I Ching, it doesn't matter, I Ching, whatever you want to call it. And that's why I'm such a believer in the beauty of divination, because it doesn't matter whether you use coins or yarrow stocks or tarot cards or the Lenormand deck, or the deck that I'm using, the one that I created, which I really like. Or, well, obviously, I mean, I understand it because I drew it. Or my psychedelic deck, or my moon deck. Doesn't matter. If you understand it, if you've put the time, I mean, I used the Crowley deck for over 40 years, something like 45 years. And then at a certain point, I said, oh, and I'm very grateful to Aleister Crowley and his deck because he taught me everything I needed to know about tarot. You know, I'm not saying I know everything about tarot I need to know. That's not what I said. He taught me everything I needed to know about tarot because I couldn't learn any more from his deck at that time. But I still learn every time I use the deck. Every time. It's a self-teaching sort of thing. Not that you shouldn't have a teacher. Not that you shouldn't have a book. Whatever, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Is that it's the divination teaches you every time you use it. So when we ask questions, we oftentimes are asking questions about something that we want to know. That's like saying, all right, should I eat a Baby Ruth bar or should I eat a payday? All right, they're kind of the same thing, except the Baby Ruth has chocolate on it. Do I feel like chocolate or should I not have chocolate? I mean, do you see what I'm saying? It's like, is there really that big a difference? Well, sure there is, but is there? Maybe the answer should be, should I be giving up candy, you know? But I don't want to do that, right? It's kind of a strange thing, divination, because the key is, would it be better to ask questions about my path? Would it be better instead to ask, instead of a very self-serving question like the one I asked, will this be the final outcome of this particular situation, which is what I did ask, should I have asked something like, well, here's what it did. It gave me a hexagram, which is one of the 64 in the I Ching. And I'm going to tell you flat out, I have many books on the I Ching, each written by an author who has their take on the I Ching and their interpretation of the hexagrams and the moving lines. Now, I don't have time right now to get into what a moving line is and how to use it and this and that. Maybe I will a little bit later if I have that time. But trust me, there are a zillion different books, a zillion with a Z, okay? Different books on the I Ching. And all you have to do is, go into Amazon and type in I Ching, I space Ching, C-H-I-N-G. You could even put in Yi, Y-I, and then after that, King, K-I-N-G. And you're going to get the same sort of thing. You're going to get a ton and probably a zillion with a Z, different books. And you also get cards and coins and feng shui stuff, and because it's all based essentially on the concept of the I Ching. Chinese culture was really molded by it. And when, the first emperor, right, Qing Shi Huangdi, he destroyed all these classics, these classical books, he destroyed and killed intellectuals, and he destroyed all these books. He didn't destroy the I Ching. Why? Because it was useful. Because somehow, 5,000 years ago, this oracle that started, supposedly, by the Yellow Emperor, when a tortoise came out of a river and he looked at these markings on its shell, this started something that he was able to, this Lo Shu map, he was able to say, oh, this is a map of everything that happens and will happen from now on. And it works. And it works unerringly and it works beautifully. Now, it takes practice to use it. It takes practice, but it works unbelievably well. So I asked this question, and it kind of made me go, huh? And that's a good sign, because you realize, okay, I'm just not getting it. I'll work with it. And so I kind of laid back and thought, okay, what is it telling me? Now, if I had just stuck with one of the many, many books I have on the I Ching and read the interpretation from one of those books, I would have missed it. That's why the Wilhelm Baines book is by far the best one. It's by the Princeton Press. And it's written by Richard Wilhelm, okay? And interpreted into English, translated, we call it, by Carrie F. Baines. And it's been around for quite a while. And I love the translation, because he talks about stuff that he was a German missionary, and he met up with a Taoist monk, and the Taoist monk really kind of laid it on him and said, this is what this is, this is what this is. And it has the definite, burden. The white man's burden, as Rudyard Kipling put it. Not so much as James Legge's version, where you really get kind of steamed when you read some of the things that he says. But you get some parts in there that are remarkable. You know, one of the things that Wilhelm talks about is hatred, where he pretty much puts it out there. Pardon me just for a second here, would you? I'll be right back. Thank you. Had one of those throat issues. Where he basically says something about hatred, where he says that hatred basically ties you to that which you hate. Man, I read that once, and it floored me. It absolutely knocked me on my rear, because it had never occurred to me that when you hate somebody, it doesn't bother them, you know? They don't know that you hate them. And even if they did, so what? They may not care. But you're tied to them. And they're in your head, right? Pardon me, a sip of beverage here. You're tied to them. And they're in your head, and they take up that space in your head. And it's so the best thing you can do is just, you know, I think that the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is truly indifference. You know? Apathy. You don't care. When I finally can get that with someone who has broken my heart, someone who has absolutely cut my heart out, stomped on it, chewed on it for a while, you know, used it as a coaster for their thunder mug. That's a potty, you know. Whatever the case may be, and you're angry and you're filled with hatred and all of that, get over that. Eventually, just don't care, you know? And eventually, when you can actually feel a little bit of compassion, that's hard to do with someone who really, really has hurt you. But if you can do that, you're kind of somewhere. So, I went to the, back to the story. I went back to the Wilhelm Baines and read it. And I read, and it, the book is set up in three parts. The text, which is the I Ching itself, the hexagrams, and his commentary is actually pretty brilliant, I think. And then you have the Great Treatise, which talks about the I Ching, and that's from the Confucian school and King Wen and the Duke of Zhou, and I'm not going to get into all that. And then you have the last part of it, which is from the Confucian school and Confucius himself. And it's the I Ching again, and it goes into detail about each hexagram and the nuclear hexagrams. It gets very complicated. And if you're like me, you know, you just get excited about that stuff. And you say, wow, I know why this works, you know. So, for example, the third hexagram is called Difficulty at the Beginning. And you're thinking, oh, it talks about, the horse and wagon part. And you kind of get into why that is like that. Why is it horse and wagon part? Well, it's because the bottom trigram, there are trigrams, is Jen, and the top trigram is Khan. And Khan can be Ricardo Montalban in Star Trek. No, I'm kidding with you. It can be a wagon, and Jen can be a horse, and the nuclear trigrams are. One called splitting apart. You know, and I'm not. I'm just showing you what can be, and so that's why you have this horse and wagon part, and it's like, yes, that's why, and so you kind of learn that it's beautiful, it's really remarkably beautiful and remarkably intricate and remarkably simple at the same time. You know, the first line, and these lines change depending on what you throw when you're doing the coins or when you're doing the yarrow stocks or however you're going to it, whatever die you. I mean, it's just a wonderful thing. And so, you know, the first line of Qian, which is the first I Ching hexagram, which is all solid lines. The first line of that, if it changes, a changing line, we'll get into the vernacular. You can look that up, or you may already know that, is hidden dragon, do not act. Because the dragon is, you know, the creative force. It's the creative energy of the universe. And because it's the first line, you can't see it yet. It's there, but you can't see it. It's too early to do anything. The second line is dragon in the field. It furthers one to contact the great man, you know, to meet the great man. So in other words, yeah, it's the dragon's in the field. So it's like, maybe this is springtime. Maybe this is, and depending on the situation, you can do something about it or not. It's like, geez, this is brilliant stuff, and it's 5,000 years old, and that's not an exaggeration, you know? We're talking pyramid age. We're talking ancient Egyptian mummification age. We're talking this great civilization that is so foreign to us, but this book was preserved for a reason, because it works as a divinatory tool. And man, I've only been using it for 56 years. I hope to use it for another 20, 30 years, you know? God willing, if there is one, you know? I mean, I figure maybe there is, but what the heck? So you get into this thing, and you ask the wrong question, and so you get this reading, and you think, well, I don't understand this, and you say, good, because that means the answer is right here. It's going to take me a while to figure it out. So I come back and I read a little bit later, and I'm like, wait a minute, there's something here. I just need to reread this and think about it. So I go to the other books, and the other books are like, nah, they don't get it either. They don't get it. They don't understand this hexagram. Something's wrong here. So I read the hexagram again, and I read the hexagram again, and I'm thinking about, what is the real question there? What did I really ask this for? What was my real question? Was it really, am I going to do this? And then I thought, no, it was, I lost something. In my heart, I felt I lost something. Maybe an opportunity. Maybe I felt like something happened. I know what it is. It's that I felt that something I was sure was going to be in my future just now has vanished. Is that it? Is that what this is about? And the I Ching said, now you're on the right track. Read it again. Read the answer again. Read that moving line with that in mind. And then go to the final hexagram. And I did, and it was just as clear as could be. It was like a starry night, you know? Just as beautiful and as crystal clear. And I went, wow. And I realized that it was perfect. I had to rearrange the question. I had asked a question that was all about me, and that was all about, you know, is this the right thing for me? Am I going to be back? And that was it. I had asked the wrong question. So when you ask a question, you know, don't make it a yes or no. Is this going to happen or is this not going to happen? Am I going to do this? Am I going to get this? Is this, make it about, what is this process for me about? Because what it did, it said, this is what caused this to happen. And here's the situation as it is now, and here's where you will end up. Take advantage of that. And I thought, man, this is incredible. This is the universe speaking to us, friends. It doesn't matter what sort of divination you use, although I use a lot of them. You know, I read palms. I do whatever I can. I invented one with dice, my own divination, based on the Kabbalah. You know, based on the Kabbalistic tree of life. Whatever you find, whatever you use, practice it. If you use a pendulum, you're using your own body to tell you what's going on, and through the pendulum, it will tell you what's happening. I'm too involved with that. I can't pull myself away from the pendulum because I know how it works. And so, that's that. But what I'm saying is, I think everyone should have a form of divination. I think it's an important thing. But man, I love the I Ching. You know, I love the I Ching. It's a remarkable tool. And I'm still experimenting with this dice method. But man, it's already exciting me, because it works. It's very, very clean. Very clean and extremely simple. And it has the same odds as the Yarrow stock method. There's something kind of wild about that. You can do the coins with the Yarrow stock odds too, but I've been doing coins for years and years and years, and suddenly I'm kind of, oh, Mo, you need to do the Yarrow stock odds again, because they're really different than the coin odds, which are really 50-50 when you get right down to it. I like something about the difference. The Yarrow stock is very different. It's 1-3-5, so I won't get into that now because I don't have time. It's almost time for me to go. Boy, that sure dropped that dime, and it went very, very quickly. What am I talking about? It's an English penny I drop. Wow. Man, do I love this stuff. I love this stuff. This is what I love. This turns me on more than almost anything else I can think of. What do you love? If you love it, do it. You know? If you love being on the radio, get on the radio. Do a podcast. Whatever you love, you should do. I love this stuff. And you know what? It loves me back. You know what else I love? I love you. And I mean that. Those of you who listen to me, I love you. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to skedaddle. Until next week, I wish you all peace and love. Talk to you later. This is Mo. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo Abdelbaki, and today is Wednesday, the 12th of July. July, yeah. 2023. Oh, the year is just speeding by, isn't it? Isn't it? Already the 7th month of the 23rd year of the 21st century. And to think just a moment ago I was in Mrs. Parsons' fifth grade class at Laurel Elementary in Fort Collins, Colorado. Okay, go ahead, those of you listening who want to steal my identity. I won't get you that far. And now that's been a challenge. And they'll go, yes, yes, I can do everything. Well, go ahead. I mean, really, it's the world today. Oh, the world today. Isn't it a sorry place? It's not that bad. It's weird. A lot of strange goings on. There are good people left in the world. There are good people left in the world, which was proven to me recently. Thank you again. You know who I'm talking to. So, yeah. Yeah, what should we talk about today? How's the weather been? How are you feeling? How has your weather been? Wow. To those of you in Vermont, and I know that there are a couple of listeners in Vermont, Montpelier, and Vermont is a destination place. It's a destination state where people go to, like Colorado. People come to Colorado to see the mountains and to, you know, buy rock candy, because we have lots of mountains and lots of rocks, and they make candy that looks like rocks. And it's, you know, it's good. We have saltwater taffy in Estes Park, and of course, I'm not sure what that has to do with the mountains, but it's pretty good stuff. And in Montpelier, Vermont, they have flooding. And that's Vermont is the same sort of thing. A lot